listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, October 24th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Don't Even Think of Parking Here.
Well, that's good, wasn't it, amen? I was riding in downtown Dallas this past week, and I saw a sign. You know, most of the time you see signs that say no parking. And I was fascinated when I saw the sign that said, don't even think of parking here. And I thought, whoa, you know, that's pretty potent right there. You know, I mean, that sounds like that's got more of an oomph to it than somebody just saying no parking. So I'm going to preach tonight on don't even think of parking here. Look back in your Bible in the book of Proverbs chapter 5 and in verse 8. The book of Proverbs chapter 5 and in verse 8, our text verse. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, it says, thy way far from her. Well, that sounds like that parking sign, doesn't it? I mean, it's not saying just remove yourself. It's saying remove thy way far from her. All right, now notice what else it says here. It says, and come not nigh, it says, the door of her house. I'm going to bow for prayer, and I think we have some chairs right over here, Brother Bolkley. If you could be kind enough, and Brother Palmore be kind enough, put two chairs right here and two chairs right here as I pray one more time. Now, Father, we thank you for the privilege to be able to open the Bible tonight and to see truths that will help us. And Father, I pray, please, that as we explore your word tonight, as we see things in the Bible that could help us individually, Father, I pray that you'll do exactly that. I pray that you'll take and help us to see truths that would change our lives. And Lord, this is a protective type of message. This is a message that if we take to heart could help us and help our young people. Now, Father, please use it in that fashion. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak tonight on no parking here. Now, I want you to think about this. There are certain things in the Bible that God gives warning about. There's certain things in the Bible that God says that we ought not to do. Matter of fact, if you were to look up the word abomination, you're going to see that that is a word that describes the very things that God hates, all right? And God describing the very things that he hates, that word abomination simply means this. He abhors it greatly. It makes him sick in his stomach. It makes him want to vomit, okay? He uses that word abomination in several fashions. He uses the word abomination when there is a man and a man coming together in a relationship, or a woman and a woman coming together in a relationship, and he uses the word abomination. Now, it doesn't really matter what you think about that. What we should be concerned about is what God says about that. All right? And so God says that that is an abomination. Now, God also uses that same word when he described those that would take their babies up, and they would take their babies up to an open volcano, and they would sacrifice their babies to their pagan gods. God used that very same word, abomination. Now, why did he do that? He used that word abomination because it was something that just upset his stomach so much that he wanted to regurgitate. It upset his stomach so much that it made him sick. And by the way, it ought to make us sick when somebody takes the life of a little baby when that baby does not have a choice. All right? And so God uses the abomination word there. God also uses the word abomination when a woman dresses like a man, or a man is trying to dress like a woman. Now, he uses that same word when it comes to that. There's a distinct difference in the Bible, the way a man ought to dress and the way a woman ought to dress. You know, a woman ought to be feminine. A woman ought to be tender. A woman ought to be delicate. A woman ought not to be someone that you come home one day and she's got her boxing breeches on. She meets you at the door and she says, put them up, bud. We're in for it now. But she ought to be tender and delicate and sweet and kind. But by the way, a man ought not to be sweet and kind and tender and delicate. We ought to teach our boys to shake hands like a man. We ought to teach our boys that they're not supposed to wear dresses and they're not supposed to be feminine. They're not supposed to put little earrings in their ears and necklaces around their neck. But we ought to teach them to be masculine. I mean, it's about time. You listen to me. There used to be a day in America when a man was a man, and you could tell he was a man by the way he dressed, by the way he walked, by the way he talked, by the very way that he carried himself. Nowadays, when you go to the store, you have a hard time telling the difference between a man and a woman. You got men that act like women, and you got women that act like men. You've got ladies out there. Oh, should I say ladies? You've got women out there that, if you will, there are some women, I'll be honest with you, if they got in a boxing ring with some of the men that families have produced today, the woman would win hands down because the man would cowardly jump out of the ring. And by the way, it ought not be that way. Now, how is it that all of a sudden our society has changed? Why is it that homosexuality now has taken control and the queers have come out of the closet and they're saying that we've got rights when the Bible says that they have no rights in those areas? Hey, God still believes in that old-fashioned family. God still believes there ought to be one man for one woman for a lifetime. Why is it tonight that it seems like that the homosexual crowd is taking a preeminence? Why is it tonight that old-fashioned movies and old-fashioned television shows and stuff like that is not the way that our world is going, but they're going in a way of immorality? They're going in the way that is wrong. I'm going to tell you tonight, because they decided to park somewhere. You and I have to decide that we're going to park our families in the right place. I think it's about time that we say, look, don't even think about parking here. I think it's about time that some daddies rise up and daddies say, don't even think about parking here. I think it's about time that some old-fashioned mamas rise up and some old-fashioned mamas say, don't even think about parking here. It's about time that we get some teenage boys that decide to be men, teenage boys that decide to be right. It's about time you start to carry your banner and you rise up and you say, don't even think about parking here. Let me give you some things tonight. Statement number one, don't even think about parking here when it comes to inactivity. Don't even think about parking here when it comes to inactivity. Saint, come if you will. Here's what we see tonight. We see that we have an opportunity to be active for God. But we've got to be careful that we are not somebody that becomes inactive for God. You know, here's what happens with the church. Go ahead and sit down. Here's what happens to the church that sits down. They get comfortable. They decide to park and be inactive. Look, when your flesh doesn't want to go soul winning, it's time to kick your flesh down in a place where it needs to be kicked, and you rise up and still go soul winning. Parkside Baptist Church will never be what it ought to be unless we keep the fires hot. Hey, by the way, you say, but look, Brother Wells, I get tired. Look, I'd rather be tired and have a godly young person than to be somebody that's not tired and have a young person that doesn't turn out for God. If you don't keep your young person, that's why you ought to go soul winning. That's why you ought to come out and support that thing on Saturday morning. Why? Because your kids need to see you out there soul winning. That's why we have the teen soul winning. That's why we've got the adult soul winning. That's why we've got the hot preaching. By the way, listen to me tonight. I'm saying we've got to decide not to be inactive. We got to decide to keep it hot. If you want your kids to be excited about God, you've got to be excited about God. Listen to it. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4, the Bible says, the soul, it says, of the sluggard desireth to and have nothing. He desireth but have nothing. But the Bible says, the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Amen. For those of you men out there tonight that is fat, there's a Bible verse. God said, the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Listen to it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, the Bible says, where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So what are we saying? We're saying keep setting the goals. Just because you read your Bible through doesn't mean you're done. Start over again. Keep setting the goals. Don't become inactive in your Bible reading. Don't become inactive in your prayer life. Don't become inactive in your soul winning. Don't become inactive in your work for God around the church. Hey, you just keep setting goals. When you hit a goal, then you rise up and set another goal. We become inactive. Before you know it, we become lazy. And then before you know it, we're out. We're out. Person begins to backslide, they go from the front of the church to the back of the church to the back door. If I were you, I'd want to get under the spout where the blessings come out. There shall be showers of blessings. Where do you get that? Sitting close to the pulpit as the preacher preaches. All right, wait a minute, watch this. And so what do? You keep stepping forward. Volunteer. Volunteer. Say, preacher, hey, Brother Bulkley, Brother Allard, Brother Palmore, hey, is there anything I can do? I promise you they'll say yes. I promise you, if you go to a bus captain and say, I know you probably don't need me, helping on your bus route, and you're probably going to refuse me, but I was just wondering, could it be possible that I could even be considered to be a bus worker? I think they could probably say yes. Look, there's a world out there that's dying and it's going to go to hell. What do? We decide to keep pressing on, keep volunteering, keep making progress, keep staying excited. Don't let Parkside Baptist Church become another dead church in the Dallas Metroplex. Don't let your shout go out. It used to be when preachers would get up to preach, people would shout them down for their preaching. Sometimes you couldn't hear a preacher preach because there's too much shouting going on. But the only time the average Baptist shouts is when the man of God is preaching and it's not their sin. It's when he's stepping all over everybody else and you like it. Well, how about let's just agree with God. Let's just decide tonight that we're going to be active. Let's decide tonight we're not going to sit beside the way. Don't let a teenager outwork you. Don't let a child outwork you. You're not dead. You're still alive. Use what you've got for God. Rise up. Serve God. Just decide you're not going to become inactive for God. I'm saying tonight, listen to me tonight. What are we talking about? We're talking about don't even think about parking here. Don't even think about parking in a place where you become inactive. There was a guy by the name of William Colgate. William Colgate, age 16 years of age, came up in a very, very poor, stricken home. William Colgate said, I'm going to move to New York and I'm going to get a job. I'm going to make do for my family. He was a fine, outstanding Christian young man in his church. He went to New York City and he got a job at a soap factory. He worked and he worked and he gave God 10%. Then he started giving God 12%, 10% for tithe and 2% for missions. And he said, I believe God's going to smile on me as I work diligently and as I give to God that which rightfully belongs to him. And I kept working and kept working and kept working. Before you know it, the business was growing just as God blessed Potiphar's house because Joseph was over all that he possessed. Are you listening to me? And God was blessing this soap business. The manager came and said, the owner of the business wants to see you, Mr. Colgate. So he went in to see the business owner. The business owner said, William, you've done such a good job and you have organized our floor so much. I want you to become the manager, not just over this plant, but the district manager over all of my plants. He kept rising and rising and he said, but I couldn't help but see God in it. So I started tithing 20% and giving 5% to missions. He said, God just kept blessing, and I got an idea. He said, I got an idea that people's teeth needed to be cleaner. So he developed a product that was called Colgate, named after himself. He established the Colgate Company. Listen to me now. He said, when I opened up the Colgate Company, it just exploded. He said, God's hand was all over that. He said, so if God's hand is all over that, I decided I would triple tithe. I decided I'd give missionaries 25% and triple tithe. He said, God just kept blessing. He said, the old saying, you can't outgive God, is true. He said, then I started giving fourfold of all my income. Gave fourfold of all of his income till the day he died. And he died one of the wealthiest men known in the United States of America. Wait a minute, why? Because he stepped up and said, God will bless me. God will. You take J.C. Penney. J.C. Penney was a Christian man. Did you know most of the stores that are prevalent today was started by Christian men that had that which was finances right in their life? J.C. Penney, when J.C. Penney died, J.C. Penney was tithing tithing 90% of his income and only living on 10%. But he was a multi-millionaire. You know why? God likes it when people step out and say, I'm going to put you first. God likes it when somebody steps up and says, hey, God, I just believe I'm not going to be inactive about this thing. I don't believe I'm going to sit down, but God, I'm going to press forward. I'm going to press forward if my own person will allow me to do it, my own energy, but I'm going to do it in every fabric of my life. What am I saying? I'm saying we ought to decide this. Hey, we're not even going to think about parking here. We're going to be active. We're going to be active in every aspect of our life. Wait a minute. How is it that some people park? Give me another young man. Jared Welsh, you come. Some people park because of iniquity. Slide that up there next to the saint. Because of iniquity. Some people decide that iniquity, sin, is worth more than righteousness. Think about this tonight. Here's what the Bible says. Psalm 1 in verse 1. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What is that talking about? That's talking about we ought to decide that sin is still sin. We ought to decide that wrong is still wrong. Look, now you listen to me. If it's wrong, if it is wrong for your girls to dress a certain way and your boys to dress a certain way, then why in the world are you bringing that in on your television set? What's wrong is wrong. If for some reason, here's what we do. We think that God is just going to turn his head on us when we ask for his power. And we think God's just going to ignore the things that we're doing wrong. But God's looking for a clean vessel. Man stopped D.L. Moody one day and said, Mr. Moody, well, we're having some trouble here trying to figure this out. We're trying to illustrate that which is sin and that which is holiness. And they said, you know, if you have a glass that's full or half full of water representing holiness and a glass that's half full of air representing sin, how can we suck the air out of that glass? Mr. Moody said, well, you can't suck the air out of the glass. They said, well, what if we get a pump? What if we put a vacuum pump inside of that glass and we try to suck the air? He said, the glass will burst. That's not the way to do it. He said, if you want to get all of the air that you see that's not connected to water out of that glass, all you do is add water. You said, but I want my young person to be holy. I want my young person to be somebody that loves God. I don't want them to keep dipping in sin. Then here's what you do. You keep putting in righteousness, putting in righteousness, putting in righteousness. Don't get them out of being involved. Get them more involved with that which is righteousness. Get them involved with that which is right. Get them involved with that which is holy. Hey, listen, if you want somebody to be right, just decide, here's what you're going to do. You're not going to walk beside the counsel of the ungodly. You're not going to stand in the way of sinners. You're not going to sit in the seat of the scornful, the critical one. Let's just decide we're going to give it everything we've got. Hey, there's no way I'm going to park there. If I want my young people to be right, then I've got to be right. Come on. Your young people is not going to be just what you say you want them to be. You know they watch you. You know what they see speaks louder than words. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. It would be wise for us to get them around hot preaching. Oh, and I said this before, and please understand the element here. I'd rather be in a church, listen to me now. I'd rather be in a church, if there could be such a church, where the man of God is too far to the right of where I am, than in a church where the man of God is left of where I am. Because if the man of God is weaker than I am, or if the man of God is on equal keel where I am, I'm not going to be challenged. But it used to be that men of God were holy. It used to be that men of God were righteous. And men of God, when they would preach, are you listening to me? The Holy Ghost had free reign. The Holy Ghost could work on people. The Holy Ghost could change people. But now, we've got those that are ear ticklers. We got people that get up in pulpits, and here's what we do. We are so used to being comfortable in America, here's how we judge churches. Oh, I went to that church, and he said something that did not make me feel comfortable. So I'm going to go to a church that makes me feel comfortable. Well, if you go to a church that makes you feel comfortable, then how's it going to help you? How's it going to challenge you? You know how I judge good preaching? I judge good preaching on how many times, I'm talking about hot preaching now, how many times that fellas step all over my toes. You know why? Because my toes need stepping on. You know, look, if we go to a comfortable church, here's what takes place. If we go to a comfortable church and that man of God doesn't have the holy boldness to step on your toes from time to time, you'll never change. Your marriage will always stay the same. Your relationship will always stay the same. Your children will turn out the way you are. But it would be good to be in a church that from time, look, we need that. So the messages that changed my life the most is when a man of God got up and the man of God ripped off my face, stepped on my feet, sat in my lap, spit in my eyeball. I walked out of there saying, oh, I hurt, but it's good. Wait, and so we've got to decide tonight that we're not going to sit, we're not going to park in that chair of inactivity. We're not going to park in that chair of being somebody that's involved in iniquity. Give me another young man. Come help me if you will. We're not going to park in this chair tonight. I want you to think about this. Where does this inactivity lead to? Where does this iniquity, where does it lead to? I'm going to tell you where it leads to tonight. It leads to immorality. Did you know when somebody is inactive with the right things, they become active with the wrong things? Brother Roloff used to say that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Every sinful activity that's, don't come to me and say, well, I'll tell you what, Brother Wells, pray for so-and-so. They fell into sin. Hogwash. Person doesn't fall into sin. A person makes a choice. Every sin that's ever been committed has first been committed in the chambers of the mind. They think about it. They meditate on it. They think about it. Come on. Don't let your little kid fool you. Well, my little boy told a lie because everybody around him forced him. No. You can't blame it on everybody around him. He told the lie because he's got a problem with lying. Well, my little girl, she did something because, after all, she... Well, wait a minute then. Who was in charge of letting her see that stuff? Hey, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that we've got to stay active for God. We ought to decide that we're not going to rust out, but we're going to burn out. We're not going to be somebody that sits on a shelf someday, but we're going to go home to glory, and we're going to be tired. Why? Because we served God. Don't be inactive. Because when we're inactive, many times that inactivity leads to an idleness that leads to sin. You know, most sin is committed in dark. In the dark. You know, most sin is committed late at night when nobody else is around. Hello. You know, most young people get in trouble because they're outside of the sphere and outside, if you would please, of the barriers that mom and dad, a good godly mom and dad, has set up. Leads to iniquity. You know, a person that dabs and dabs and dabs and dabs in the sin, it gets worse. And it could even lead up to that which is immorality. That's why he says here, Proverbs chapter 5 and in verse 8, the Bible says, remove thy way, it says, from her. Hey, remove your way. Don't even go that way. Don't train up a child in the way he should go. You train your child not to go that way. That's bad. Look, don't be afraid to, somebody says, well, you know, you're not politically correct. Well, first off, I'm not running for politics. Man, I'm running to, look. Okay, girls, you watch me. Here comes a boy. That boy comes up, and that boy says, ooh, ooh, you are pretty. Ooh. Well, don't be too impressed. He's probably telling every girl that. But he comes up, and he says, ooh, you are, ooh, you are pretty. I like to hold your hand. I like to give you a kissy-wissy. Why don't you pucker-wucker, close your eyes, and let me give you a kissy wissy. What you ought to say is, close your eyes, big boy. Because you are going to get it. Take your shoe off. Say, pucker big. Get them out. Pucker, pucker, pucker. Get them out. Close your eyes. You ought to hit him so hard he winds up all the way in Pennsylvania. You know, my Bible says it's not good for man to touch a woman. You know why we got marriages all messed up all over America? You know why? And by the way, you listen to me. There is no such thing honorable in God's sight as a common law marriage. You either do it right or you don't do it right. Why are you afraid of getting all the way in? Hey, listen to me tonight. Let's decide that we're not going to be inactive. Let's decide we're not going to have iniquity. Let's decide tonight we're going to be individuals that stay moral, have high morals, don't have low morals. Just decide tonight, right is right. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. What does God say? We ought to say, oh, no, 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 I'm not parking here. I am not parking here. Well, I'm glad that I wasn't just trying to make more money off the government, and so I just lived with my wife. I am so glad that we did it the right way. Man, I'm glad that my wife walked down the aisle. And by the way, if he doesn't want to marry you, it might be because he don't want to stay with you. Marriage is a commitment. Boy, she's saying, would you marry me? Would you marry me? And he keeps saying, well, I'm not ready. Well, if you're not ready, get out of the house. Listen, let's decide tonight that marriage is right. Hey, there's something about walking down an aisle and saying, I do till death do us part, that's honorable in the eyes of all men. All of a sudden, that boy looks at you and says, boy, I tell you, I love you so much. Would you give me a kiss? Why is he always trying to take from you if he loves you so much? My Bible, whenever you read about love, love always gives, it never takes. You know, when Mrs. Wells, we dated for over 2 years, courted for over 2 years. Never one time did I hold her hand, never one time did I kiss her. You know why? Because she didn't belong to me, she belonged to her daddy, and I respected that family. When she walked down that aisle, that was the first time my lips ever touched her lips. I didn't know how to do it proper. I looked like an idiot. I did that Jared Zapata thing where after I kissed her, I thought she bit my bottom lip off. And I saw him going like this, trying to feel if it was still there. I did that Jonathan Wells thing where Jonathan kissed her. And you know, it looked like he was more out to get away than it was to come to. They've learned different since then. All right, but now wait a minute, watch this. There's inactivity. Inactivity can lead to iniquity. Iniquity can lead to that which is immorality. That's how God says, hey, look, don't even go by the way. Hey, if you got trouble with drinking, stay away from the bars. If you got trouble with immorality, don't go in the gas station that shows the Playboy magazines. Hey, if you got trouble with that which is wrong music, then don't go by the junk that's trying to get you to think the wrong thing. Let's decide tonight we're not going to be an immoral people. Let's decide tonight we're going to do what's right by God. Let's decide tonight we're going to go forward and do what God says to do. Let's just decide I will not park there. Oh, listen to it. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 3, the Bible says the lips of the strange woman drop as the honeydew. This is God speaking. The Bible says, and listen to it, and her mouth is smoother than oil. I lived in New York City for many years. Mrs. Wells and I lived in Brooklyn. There's a place down in Manhattan Way that was called No Man's Zone. It was called the Red Light District. No Man's Zone. At certain hours of the day, in the evening time, late at night, the police would not even go there. If you wanted to kill somebody and get away with it, you'd take them down to what they call the no man's zone, down past the red light district. By the way, in the red light district, no decent man or woman would go there late at night. You know why? Because that's where the whores were. That's where they go down, they display their goods. And you could always tell who they were, not by the way they dressed, but by the way they weren't dressed. Come on. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because Somewhere along the line, somebody didn't stay active in their life that was righteous and holy, and they didn't make some righteous and holy decisions. Now you listen to me. I'd rather our young people go to the altar and say, this is my first time to ever hold a boy's hand. Now, but look, don't think I'm silly tonight. It'd be far better for a man of God to stick the standard way up here than a man of God to stick it right here. It would be far, come on. Now you might not like this preaching tonight, and after this night you may decide I'm not going to go back to that church because that man of God, he's nailing stuff and he is getting his nose into my business. But I'm telling you tonight, it always used to be this way. Men of God would love people enough to be able to tell them exactly what God said. Oh wait. Inactivity will lead to that which is iniquity. Iniquity will lead, if we're not careful, to that which is immorality. You think about just different ones in the Bible. You think about, if you will, David. David committed sin with Bathsheba. Now, stay with me now. What was going on there? Here's what took place. He committed sin with Bathsheba. When he did, he lost the baby. Oh, but he didn't just lose the baby. He lost his daughter, Tamar. Listen to me. He didn't just lose his daughter Tamar, but Amnon took that which was sacred and holy away from Tamar. That was David's own son. Wait a minute. Absalom kills that which is David's son, Amnon. He kills him. Kills him. Wait, doesn't stop there. Then Absalom, the servant of David, decided to rise up and to kill Absalom. Doesn't stop there. I'm telling you tonight that the testimony went down, 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 all within one family. Why? Because one man just made a wrong decision. And he said, just for 10 minutes of fun, 20 minutes of fun, it'll be okay. But he lost his baby. He lost his daughter. He lost his boys. Why? Simply because he decided not to stay active in the right area. He decided to park in the wrong area. And because of that, iniquity came, immorality came, and death came. Let me give you one more tonight and I'm done. Immorality. We all decide not to park there tonight. We also ought not to decide to park in that which is infidelity. What is that, preacher? Unbelief. Turning a back on God. Listen to it. Psalm 14 and verse 1, and I'm done. The Bible says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Have you ever come across a Christian that used to believe, but said, I don't believe anymore? I was soul winning up in Bern, Indiana, where your daddy pastors. I was out soul winning in one of those neighborhood towns. Knocked on the door. Gay fella came to the door. He says, you don't want me in your church. I said, we do want you in our church. I said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I said, son, you're a part of that world. And Jesus Christ shed his blood to pay the sin debt that you owe. And we care about every person. And we care about you. He said, well, nobody's ever said that they cared about me except for other type of people. But no church member has ever said that. I said, you listen to me tonight. We care about you. We want to try and help you. Let me ask you a question. Why is it that you practice the lifestyle that you practice? He said, well, I don't know how to answer that. I said, I think I can answer it for you if you let me. You just answer one question for me. I think I can tell you where it went wrong. I said, who was it that hurt you? He started crying there at the door. You know, whenever I've dealt with somebody that is involved in that type of lifestyle, it always traces back to somebody hurt them. And normally it was in a religious association. Normally. Well, you've heard the story of John Dillinger, 10 years of age, comes to the Baptist church, meets the Baptist deacon at the door of the Baptist church. John Dillinger had clothes on that was ragged. The Baptist deacon at the Baptist church looked at John Dillinger and said, your kind is not wanted here. John Dillinger looked at that Baptist deacon and he said, fine, then I'll go someplace where I am wanted. And he became public enemy number one and wanted by the feds all over America. You know why? Simply because somebody turned him away. You know one thing I love about Parkside Baptist Church? People don't get turned away. You know, I love it when our teenagers get on those buses and our college kids going on the buses and our men and women get on those buses and I see people bringing people to church. Come on. I see all sorts of different people that's walking in these doors. I see the edgy slow. I see that which is the African American. I see people that have their roots in Mexico. And I see Anglos. And I see all sorts of people that's walking in the church. By the way, isn't that what heaven's going to be like? Somebody walked out the door the other day and said, boy, you got an unusual church here. He said, I've gone to a lot of Baptist churches here in the area. And he said, you know, he said, but here, he said, this is his words. He said, but here there ain't no prejudice, is there? And I said, sir, I promise you, here there ain't no prejudice. By the way, that's the way it's going to be in heaven. When I pastored in Union City Baptist Temple, I went there for 25 years. They've been out of the bus ministry. And so we started a bus ministry. Hallelujah. We started a bus ministry. Wait a minute. When we started the bus ministry, the deacons got with me, and thank God for these godly deacons. But the deacons got with me years ago, and they said this when I first came to pastor there, we don't want to start a bus ministry. And you know, don't you ever buy a bus. We're not going to give you permission to buy a bus. And I said, okay. There was a friend of mine by the name of Mike Brock. He still owns one of the largest scrap metal businesses in Memphis, Tennessee. Mike came to visit me one day, and he was in church, and he sat back there, and boy, I preached, and boy, God stirred Mike's heart, and Mike said, would you come down to Memphis and see if you could lead some of my employees to Christ? He said, I'd like to see them get saved, and I think you're the man. He said, would you come to Memphis? He said, I'll pick you up. I'll treat you to lunch every time we go down. See if you can lead some of my employees to Christ. I said, Mike, I like that. That'd be great. Mike came up, and we were about 2 hours from Memphis or so, and he come up. He picked me up. I'd drive down to Memphis with him. We'd fellowship. We'd talk. And we had a good time, and we lead some of his friends to Christ, some of his employees. And then they come to our church. They get baptized. Mike said, this is so neat. He said, let me ask you something. He said, I got a little bit of money. If you had anything that you wanted in the world, what would you want? I said, I think I'd like a bus. I said, matter of fact, I want you to get a bus and I want you to have it painted this color. Then I said, I want you to put a big old ribbon around it. And I don't want it seen until Sunday morning. And I want you to pull it up at a certain place with the big old, boy, I tell you what, I never had so many deacons mad at me in all my life. Well, they came to me and said, who gave you permission to buy a bus? I said, we didn't buy a bus. I didn't spend one penny. But what do you do when God gives you a gift? I said, I think we ought to love God so much that next Sunday ought to be Deacon Sunday on the bus. Boy, we had coffee and we had warm milk for those that have upset stomach. And we had donuts. And boy, we got on that bus. And boy, those, are, listen to me. And we packed out that bus. I mean, God gave us, first day, 40-some people on the bus. Amen. I took that bus out on a Saturday before we put the ribbon on it, the day before we had the deacons come. I took that out on a Saturday, and I ran a program. I'd take it to areas, and I'd get all these kids on the bus, and boy, I'd run a children's program, and I'd preach and have a good time. Then I'd say, how many want to come tomorrow? Oh, me. And I said, great, let's go see your parents. I took them out, signed them all up, went back on Sunday, picked them up. Are you listening to me? One of the deacons sitting on the bus, and this child just kept falling out of the seat. Kaplunk. Couldn't have been because of the driver. But so the deacon got a burden and picked the child up, started loving on the child, and then I look back and there's a tear coming. Sunday night, the deacons had a meeting, and I thought, oh, dear Lord, here it goes. Here it goes. Mama, get ready. Man, we're going to have a fight on our hands. Good night. Maybe I didn't do it right. And they had a meeting Sunday night after church. They voted. They wouldn't let me come to the meeting. That won't happen here. But they had a meeting. And they decided. They said this. Here's what they said. They voted and said, we're back in the bus ministry. Boy, we started buying buses. Hey, we were running buses from Tennessee to Kentucky. Man, we're leading people all over in two different states. We're bussing them in. We're having a good time. Mike Lofton rode the bus from Tennessee. Melissa rode the bus from Kentucky. They met. They're married now in this church. I'm telling you, the bus ministry works. Wait, listen. What happens, though, is infidelity. What is that? That is a total displacement of your belief in God's word. Have you ever met them? Well, yeah, I used to go to church. I used to go to my granddaddy's church. Yeah, I used to hear that type of preaching. Boy, I remember when the preacher would get up and he'd preach. But you know, I'm not there anymore. Well, where are you? Well, I'm nowhere, to be honest with you. Well, you're better off being there than nowhere. Wait a minute. What happens here? Watch this, if you will. Here's what the Bible says, and I'm done. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1, the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You know, a fool is somebody that just decides, well, I'm just going to walk away from that. I'm just not going to believe in that. That is foolish. Well, look, if it worked then, it works now. Stay with me. We've got to decide, oh, no, 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 I'm not going to think about parking there. I'm just not going to think about it. I'm not going to think about parking in the place of that which is an inactivity. I'm going to stay active for God. Look, February, I'm going to be 50 years of age. 50. Glory to God. 50. I've made it. I witnessed to Jeremy. Jeremy got saved. I didn't recognize him this morning. I didn't see him, but Jeremy got saved Thursday night. He was sitting in the back this morning, and we had to pray with Mrs. Wells, and I lead both he and his wife to Christ, and he's excited about the Lord and all, and so I led him to Christ. He came this morning, sitting in the back, and I told Jeremy, I said, you know, I'm almost going to be 50, and he thought, young man, he thought that is very, very old, but I don't think 50 is very, very old. Thank you. Thank you. I think it's just teetering on getting past middle age. That's all. That's all. A person can become, have you seen an older person become inactive? You know what happens when an older person, Brother Dowdy, I love this, heart attack, goes in, complete operation, sewed up, sent home in church. Come on. You know why he has lived to be the age that he is and will live even much, 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 you like this emphasis? Much, much, much longer. Let me tell you why. Because he's not inactive. Come on. Brother Bulkley Sr., still teaching an adult Sunday school class. Faithful to church, not inactive. And we could go all around this room tonight and talk about our senior saints, and we could lay accolades of prayer. You know why? But have you ever seen somebody that becomes inactive? They start to let the, I don't feel like going. Well, I hurt my sciatica, my rheumatoid arthritis, my whatever, you know, and they become inactive. And then they don't move around as much, and they wind up sitting in the chair more and more and more. Come on. And then their joints begin to stiffen up. Come on. Brother Stead out there working on a bus route. Come on. Hello. Just keeps working and work. Now, wait a minute. Listen. Come on. You think of all these people that's in our ring of honor that's been here 27 and 30 years. What are they doing? They're just saying, look, I'm just going to keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. That's the way to do it. Let's decide we're not going to park here when it comes to being inactive. We're not going to park here when it comes to iniquity. Name it and then confess it and then forsake it quickly. John O. Rice used to take, and he used to say, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write all my sins down on a piece of paper, and then I'm going to go in the bath. I'm going to confess it, and then I'm going to flush it down the commode. They said, why'd you flush your sins down the commode, the list? He said, well, it was God's business, my business, nobody else's business. Come on. So the Bible says, he that confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy. Wait a minute. Iniquity, if we're not careful, leads to immorality. Immorality many times will lead to that which is a denial of God's word, infidelity.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.